This morning I'm reading from Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 to 18. It's not up on the screen, so if you have your Bibles, follow along. If you have your Bibles, follow along. If not, just listen. I'm reading from the ESV this morning. This is Jacob. This is the story of Jacob. And it's a story of Jacob about where he came and he had a vision. He had a dream. And we're picking up just as Jacob's about to have this dream. Verse 10, it says, Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and he stayed there that night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and he laid down in that place to sleep. And he had a dream. And behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth. And the top of the ladder reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring back to you this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I promised you. Then Jacob awoke from the sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not even know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. This morning, I want to talk to you about faith. And I want to paint the picture for you with a ladder. But I want to talk to you about faith because this morning I'm talking about the art of receiving from God and releasing things to God. So it says that God sits in the heavenlies and he sits on the top of the ladder. And he sits on top of the ladder and angels are ascending and descending on the same ladder. It starts on the earth and it goes all the way to the heavens. This one's a couple 100,000 feet shorter than that one. But what I want to say to you very simply is this. And you'll learn this about me that I'm kind of disjointed, and I'm all over the place, and I get really, really excited, and it can be sometimes hard to follow along to, but I'm going somewhere. So bear with me, because we're going to get to the place that I want to go. I want to challenge you this morning, if you are a Christian, if you're somebody who has faith, then I want to ask you, where do you stand on this ladder this morning? Because the reality is that we're all on a journey. We're all on a journey going somewhere. And we all want to end up getting a little bit closer to God at the end of it. And if God is at the top, then you're on a journey climbing this ladder. And my question for you is, where do you stand this morning? Where do you stand on this ladder of faith? On this journey of faith, where do you stand? Because if God sits at the heavenlies, if he sits at the top of this ladder, like I said, then this is our striving point. And the Lord revealed to Jacob, and he said, hey, I am at the top, and my angels are all over this ladder. They're all over this place. They're all over you. They're anywhere and everywhere, as long as your faith, as long as your feet are on this ladder. As long as your faith and as long as your feet are on this ladder. But the cool thing about it is this ladder of faith. This ladder of faith, you can only actually see it once you've entered the journey. Because if you have no faith, then you can't see the ending. Then you can't see the ending line. Or the ending line, or the ending point for you is going to be different than it is for me. And this morning, maybe somebody's faith needs an adjustment. Maybe somebody needs to realize that their faith in God isn't where it should be. And I'm here to tell you today that the coolest thing about God is His grace. Because the thing is that no matter what happens in your life, once you enter this journey of faith, it doesn't matter where you are. Because you'll start climbing the ladder. You'll start climbing the ladder from the bottom step. And you go, awesome, I'm a brand new believer. I'm a brand new believer. I have no idea what I'm doing. And all of a sudden, you get a little more comfortable on your faith. You take another step. You get baptized. You get baptized, maybe. Or you find a home church, or you join a church. So you take another step on the ladder of faith. Your faith is improving as your knowledge of God improves. Your faith is improving as your knowledge of God improves. So if your knowledge of God is improving, then so is your faith. But the moment that you stop learning, the moment that you stop learning, the moment that you stop pursuing, the moment that you stop pressing in, all of a sudden you take a step down. All of a sudden you take a step down. Something happens in your life. Maybe you're three steps up. Maybe you're four steps up. Maybe you're almost at the top. Maybe you feel like you've almost figured it out. And all of a sudden your finances crash. You ever notice how when something happens, it affects your faith? You ever notice how when you have no money and you don't know how you pay bills? How frequently and how common is it that instead of climbing closer towards God, I don't want to hit my head. Instead of climbing closer towards God, you actually take a step down. Something happens in you, instead of going up, instead of climbing up, you climb down. You lose faith a little bit. Your marriage is falling apart, so you take a step down instead of up. There's circumstances in your families that drive you crazy. So instead of pursuing God and getting closer to God, you take another step down. But the coolest thing about God, Sam, come here for a second. The coolest thing about the Father is this, that no matter where you stand on the ladder, you feel like you're falling, but the reality is you're not, because God's there catching you. You feel like you're falling. You feel like your life's falling apart. Just stand on the bottom one. Don't be adventurous. You feel like you're falling, but the reality is you're not. Because God sits at the top. And if God sits at the top, then I promise you that His arms are long enough to reach you where you are. So if you're on the bottom step because your finances are failing, or because your marriage is falling apart, or because circumstances in your life have happened and you just don't know if you have it, you just don't know if you have faith, then I'm telling you today that God is here to pick you up. That no matter what step you end up being on, that God is going to grab you when you feel like you're falling. But you have to have the faith to believe that God's got you. Because you can fall and fall and fall and fall. Thanks, Sammy. You can fall and fall and fall and fall. But if you don't have the faith to believe that God's going to grab you, then ultimately what's going to happen is you're just going to keep falling all the way back down to the earth. And you'll get back down to the earth, and you'll find yourself You'll find yourself, ultimately, what you'll find yourself doing is lying down, like Jacob was. See, in the moment and in the time frame, I think that Jacob doubted or questioned a little bit whether or not God was actually going to give him the land that he promised him. Jacob's not on the ladder of faith right now. He's sleeping. He's laying down. And the moment, friends, the moment that you get off the ladder, the moment that you lay down, the moment that you say, God, I can't do this anymore, the moment that you feel like you've given everything that you have, is the biggest moment of vulnerability you'll ever have in your life. I'm here today to tell somebody that God's got you. That God's got you, that regardless of how far you feel like you're falling, or whether you're ready to just about give up, that God is here, and he is for you, and he's not against you. And when we step into the promises, because God has given all of us, God has given all of us promises, just like he did to Jacob. He's given us all a set of promises. But the promises of God, can I be so bold maybe to just say that you can't fulfill God's promises if you're not living a life of faith? You can't fulfill the promises of God if you're not living a life of faith. And this is not some supernatural thing. This is just simply purely biblical. And I believe today that God's asking us, what are you doing with your promises? What are you doing with your promises? What are you doing with the things that I have in store for you? What are you doing? And maybe the reality is that maybe God has already spoken to you. Maybe God's already revealed a promise to you, but you understand and you know and you can see that that promise right now isn't coming to fruition. No matter where you are on this ladder, no matter where you are on this ladder today, God has promises for you. God has a plan for you. God has an understanding for your life. God has a goal as to where he's going to take you. He's got promises for you. And it kind of looks like this. It kind of looks like this. Shaylee, come here. See, God's promises. God's promises, I'm going to use a bean for a second. And God's promises can look like this bean. And as soon as you enter the journey of faith, the promises that God has for you begin to come into your life. Put your hand up. So God says, here you go, Shaylee. Here's a promise that I have for you. Here's a promise that I have for you. But this bean, this posture of Shaylee's hand right now, looks an awful lot like our faith. Because when God says, here you go, have it, instead of holding it like this and be like, okay, God, what are you going to do with it? Thank you for showing me, what are you going to do with it? Instead, oftentimes we go like this. And we become so desperate and we become so inclined to hold on to that promise. To hold on to that promise. But God will give you a promise, and instead of holding on to it, just stay there for a second. Instead of holding on to it, if you close your hand on the promise of God, that promise dies. If you close your hand on that promise, that's all it's ever going to be. That's all it's going to be. It's just going to stay there. It's just going to stay there. And this morning, church, we need to, as a body, get into the posture of receiving a promise and releasing a promise. Drop it. Flip it back over. Because when you receive a promise and you release it back to God, He'll do it again. And it becomes more and more frequent. And He'll do it again. And He'll do it again. The promises of God aren't limited. They're not limited on your life. Do it again. They'll go and go and go and go and go. And they'll do it again. And all of a sudden, they'll start to come like this. Receive, release. Receive, release. Receive, release. And this is what God wants to do with your life. Receive, release. He wants you to live in a posture of receiving and releasing the kingdom of God. But the other thing about the bean is this. This bean can represent a promise, but it can also represent your life. It can represent a promise of God, but it can also represent your life. God has given you your life. It says in Psalm 139 that He knows you even before you were born. You were created in His image. He's given you and made you and shaped you exactly the way you are. And if you're here this morning and maybe you don't know God, then the reality is that while you're alive in the world, you're dead in Christ. While you're alive in the world, you're dead in Christ. And this morning, this bean represents somebody in this room. This bean will represent somebody in this room. But the cooler thing about it is this. You can drop that one. It also can represent us as Christians. You can go sit down. Thank you. It also can represent us as Christians. Because like I said earlier, our posture is even if we believe in God, we so desperately want to hold on to our life. We so desperately want to hold on to something that doesn't even belong to us anymore. And we know that and we understand that biblically. That our life is not ours, that we give it to Jesus. That we give it to Jesus, that we surrender everything that we have. So then why, friends, as God pours into our life, do we go like this and hold on to it? Why are you holding on to something that's not yours? Why are you holding on to something that's not yours? Whether it's your life or whether it's something that's inside your life, whether it's a sin, whether it's a disbelief, the biggest misconception is that I meet people all the time who say, Ty, I've got nothing to give to Him. Christians all the time who find themselves in the mindset and say, I've got nothing left to give to Him. And I'm here today to tell you that regardless of how many beans you have in your hand, if you're nothing, if you feel like a nothing, then nothing is impossible for God. Nothing's impossible. Regardless of what you hold in your hand this morning, regardless of what you hold in your heart this morning, nothing is impossible for God. Can we come to the place this morning, too, where we understand that God cannot, it's a bold statement, God cannot multiply what you fail to maximize. He cannot multiply the promises in your life if you fail to maximize the ones that he's already given you. If you decide to hold on to what he's already given you, your life is all it's ever going to be. God cannot multiply things in your life if you fail to maximize what he's already given you. God cannot multiply the things in your life if you fail to maximize or hold on to what he's already given you. And this morning, I think congregationally, we need to do a little bit of receiving and releasing. We need to do a little bit of receiving and releasing this morning. Because I think that there's a lot of people whose faith, I feel like there's a lot of people whose faith in this room has been shaken to the point where they feel far from God, or they no longer feel close to God. And they feel like maybe they're Jacob lying down, doubting or questioning whether God can do what he actually said he would. And it's quite simple. If you long to get back closer to God, if you long to draw closer to God, then just begin to release the things of your life that don't belong there. Just begin to release the things in your life that don't belong there. And then do me a favor. Don't pick them back up. Leave them there. So often we'll go and we'll come to Sunday service, or we'll come to encounter night, or we'll come to wherever, and we'll go, yeah, that's me. I want to release. I want to draw closer to God. I want to draw closer to him. My heart longs to be closer to God. So you do it, you release. But then as soon as nobody's looking, you're scrounging on the ground, picking up the beans. Picking up the things that you were like, oh my goodness, what did I just do? I want them back. God says, no, you want to get closer to me on the ladder? You want to get closer to me on the ladder of faith? Release them. And leave them there. Don't pick them up. Don't pick them up. The salvation story isn't about you laying down your stuff and then picking them back up. No, the salvation story says that Jesus came and he died on the cross so that he could bear our sins, so that he could take our sins from us, so that we didn't have to pick them back up. Why are we picking them up? Faith is not receiving, releasing, and picking back up. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what it says. Faith is receiving and releasing and having trust that God has something better in store for you. Even in terms of your promises. If you take your promises and you release your promises, don't pick up a dead promise. Because he's got a new one in store for you. He's got something new in store for you this morning. Okay. And if he's got something new in store for you this morning, then I don't know about you, but I want to receive whatever God has for me. I want to receive whatever he has for me. In whatever term, in whatever anything. I'm not sitting here. I'm not standing here. And I hope that you're not sitting in the pews only believing in the big promises. Because, yeah, it's great. The big promises have power. But all of God's promises have power. Amen. Even the smallest ones. Even the smallest beans are loaded with anointing power. Are loaded with the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to receive from God and release to God. And if you're not releasing, if you don't live in a life of a releasing spirit, God's not going to give you more than you can handle. That's true, and we all know that. God's not going to give you more than you can handle. So if he's given to you, if he's given something to you and you've never given it back, then that's all you're going to get. Then that's all you're going to get. Jesus this morning, I think he's saying to some people, it's time to release. Maybe God's called you to be a worship leader. Maybe God's called you to be a worship leader, and it's not working out. It's not what you thought it was going to be. Promises come and promises go. I believe that promises come and promises go. That a promise that you received when you were 15 years old, may not be the same promise that you'll get when you're 35 years old. The promise that God has on my life right now may not be the same promise that I have tomorrow. God gives new promises all the time. God gives new promises all the time, but it's up to us to receive them. And he won't give you a new promise if you're holding on to one that's dead. You want to see what God has in store for your life? Release the things that need to die or that are already dead. And then find yourself at the altar or in a moment of worship saying, okay, God, I'm ready for more. God wants to maximize and multiply every single promise that he gives. Every single promise he gives, he wants to maximize it and multiply it. But he cannot do it if our hearts aren't in the place. If our hearts are focused on the things that are going wrong or are focused on a promise that God gave to us 15 years ago that we still hold on to today. I'm wondering this morning who has something that they need to get rid of. Or who's ready this morning maybe to say, God, my promise. God, I'm ready for a new promise. Or maybe you're here this morning and you're like, I have no idea what this guy's talking about. I don't even know who God is. Then I'm telling you this morning from experience, because it wasn't that long ago that I sat where you are. But the promise of God is this. The promise of God is that you have an opportunity to step into an eternal life. You have a free opportunity. No cost. There's no cost, but there's obligations. And maybe today's your day where God is saying to you, put your faith, or if you don't have faith, put your trust. Because ultimately, trust is an offspring of faith. Trust is an offspring of faith. And you may not understand that, or you may not know that this morning. But if you have faith, you can't see what you have faith in. So because you can't see what you have faith in, you have to have trust in it. Because if you have no faith and you have no trust, then you really don't have anything. Then you really can't believe in anything. You have to put your faith where your trust is. And maybe God this morning is asking you to do that. Can you come play something, please? Maybe he's asking you this morning to do that. Maybe today's your day. Or, like I said, maybe there's stuff that you need to be ready to let go of. Broken promises, hurts, disappointments, frustrations, broken marriages, broken finances. All of that stuff just... God didn't give you a broken marriage, but he does say, release it back to me. God didn't make you poor, but he does say, if you put your finances in me, if you put your trust in me, I will make you wealthy. And it might be wealthy in ways that we don't understand, but he will make you wealthy. He will make you wealthy. He will give to you exceedingly and abundantly beyond your greatest measure, beyond your greatest expectation, beyond your greatest thought process, beyond your greatest understanding. He will give to you abundantly more than you can understand. Amen. If you put your faith in him. If you release your life, your marriage, your finances, your whatever to him. He will give to you exceedingly and abundantly more than you can understand. I want to be like Jacob, and I'll close with this. Jacob saw the ladder, and I don't know if he ever climbed it or not. But the thing is that I want to be where Jesus can reach me. I never want to be outside of the reach of God. And let me clarify for you, if you're here critiquing what I'm saying, you can never be outside the reach of God. You're never too far gone. You're never too far away. You're never too distant from him. We just have to come and release what we hold on to. So if that's you this morning, if there's something that you need to release to God this morning, every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm just going to ask you to stand up. On the count of three, I'm just going to ask you to stand up. Just as a symbol to God to say, hey, God, I have this in my life and I want to give it to you. Number one, because God is worthy of all of our praise. God is worthy of our life. He's worthy of our understanding. He's worthy of everything that we have to give him. Number two, because he died on the cross to pay such a beautiful price so that you no longer had to carry your burdens. So that you could just come to know Jesus. So that you could just draw near, closer to Jesus. And three, just go ahead and stand up if that's you this morning. Thank you. Thank you. God sees those who are standing right now. And this altar is open if you want to come up and just worship him at this place. But I want you to know that God sees those who are standing. And he's revealing to you, and I'm believing that if he's not right now, he's going to over the next couple days, reveal to you the promises that he has for you. The new promise for this season in your life. The new promise for the next couple weeks or the next couple months. He's saying that your heart and your promises are no longer dead. They're alive in me. You're alive in me. Remain in me as I remain in you. Can we worship him tonight, this morning? Can we worship him in this place? Can we stand, and if you're willing or ready, let's just worship God. The Lord is just going to play. Just the chorus. Sure. Yeah. So let's stand up all over this place this morning. And draw a little closer and press in a little more to the promises of God. Build your life on alive, on new promises. Stop building your life on a dead foundation. Stop building your life on a whirlwind that God's going to do what he told you 30 years ago. Build your life on what he says right now. Build your life on the foundation of the gospel that Jesus died on the cross, he went to hell, stole the keys, rose from the dead so that you could have eternal life, so that he could give to you promises, so that he could give to you anointings, so that he could give to you all the things he has in store for you. Let's worship God together.